Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Ambition is sometimes looked at as a sin by many Christians, but is there a place for ambition in our life? When we think of ambition, how society sees ambition, ambition often excuses a person to do just about anything to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And I think it's easy for us to see that is not the type of ambition we should have in our life. For instance, a person with this type of ambition might not think anything of doing a shady business deal just to make more money. With the more money they make, instead of seeking to help others with that money, they only seek to give themselves a better quality of life. Of and by itself, there is nothing wrong with desiring a better quality of life, but when ambition causes us to circumvent what is written in the Bible, there is a problem for us and for the people impacted by our actions. As we transact business in this world, we need to be aware that among the people with whom we transact business will be people who are honest and who seek a fair deal for all involved, and there will also be people who will seek an unfair advantage for themselves in the business deal, and it will be clear for those of us who know the Bible to see that they have circumvented what is in the Bible. Some give ambition a bad name, but what does ambition mean? Ambition is defined as a strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. Ambition is also defined as a desire and determination to achieve success. Should we have a strong desire to have eternal life? Should we have a strong desire to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness? Does it sometimes take hard work on our part as we seek eternal life and the kingdom of God and God's righteousness? Do we equate eternal life and being part of the kingdom of God with spiritual success? The older I get, the more I sense ambition is lacking in society. The younger generation doesn't seem to want much of things that my generation wanted. When I was younger, my generation sought careers, the opportunity to live independently, and what is generally thought of as a good life. We sought opportunities for career advancement, owning a home, and we were willing to work for it. I've noticed too many in the younger generation today seem to lack any type of ambition. While some may argue that it might be better that there is less selfish ambition, if we spiritually lack ambition to be part of the kingdom of God, we probably won't be part of the kingdom of God. Could the lack of ambition in life that is so prevalent today spill over to the household of faith and spiritually cause problems for us? Ambition can drive us to do what is right according to the Bible, but it can also steer us off course to do things not aligned with what is written in the Bible. And for those of us who are called, who have been given the Holy Spirit and who are led by that Spirit, to do what is right according to the Bible. So when it comes to ambition, what should that look like for a Christian, and what should we avoid? Let's start by examining our opposition, Satan the devil, who as our adversary is driven by ambition and seeks the destruction of any whom he may devour. To counter the ambition of our opposition, we are told to resist steadfast in the faith. We cannot allow any hardship of life to drive a wedge between us, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, because the minute we allow this, the quicker Satan will be to devour us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It takes ambition to resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Without ambition fueled by faith, Satan faces at best a passive individual, sort of like a sheep who, when it spots a wolf nearby, chooses to do nothing. Satan seeks our destruction and sought to destroy Jesus. When Jesus could not be tempted by the devil in the wilderness, Satan enlisted people on earth to help him. Among these were the religious elites who sought how they might destroy Jesus. Satan sought destruction of Jesus and seeks our destruction through what must be overcome, whether that be a person, thing, or feeling. Mark 11, verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the temples of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. Satan is very ambitious, which is why Peter told us to resist steadfast in the faith. The gospel accounts of Jesus show that Satan never gave up on his desire to destroy Jesus, and if one effort failed to destroy Jesus, Satan would immediately try something else, which is why today we should not be surprised to find ourselves under similar attacks today. Whether those attacks come and attack what is physical in our life or attack our faith, these attacks come from the ambition of Satan to destroy us, and we resist steadfast in the faith. The religious elites would continue to challenge Jesus, not understanding they were under the sway of Satan. In their mind, they were doing God's work, never understanding how wrong they were. Today, we should not be surprised if we encounter people who attack us, thinking they are doing God's work. During his life, the religious elites of Jesus' time saw themselves as God's authority on earth, and they couldn't reckon that a common person, as they saw Jesus, could have religious authority from God. Luke 20, verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders, and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things, or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then believed ye him not? But, and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Not understanding that Jesus came with authority from God the Father, Jesus shared a parable with them, showing how a wealthy landowner left his vineyard in charge of workers who used their status to oppress other people. The wealthy landowner sent servants to check in with the workers, and they oppressed the servants sent by the wealthy landowner. Eventually, the wealthy landowner sent his son to figure out what was going on, and the workers plotted to kill the son, lest the son take possession of the land. Those who heard the parable understood how evil this would be and publicly condemned the idea. Privately, the religious elites understood Jesus was talking about them and sought how to bring harm to Jesus without inciting the people who followed him. Verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir, come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. When it comes to our faith, there is action and ambition required to do what is right according to the Bible. For instance, Jesus explained to his disciples to ask, seek, and knock. The hope and faith that we have without action and ambition is like a fantasy that is fun to think about that will likely never come true. Our faith and hope must be more than a daydream or even a desire. Jesus showed that if we want something, we have to ask for it. If we want to find something, we need to seek. If we need doors open for us, we need to knock. Jesus showed that action is needed on our part, and that action is driven in part by ambition. It's sort of like when I go to the grocery store. I don't go to the grocery store because I have to, nor do I order grocery delivery because I have to. I don't pay my water, gas, or electric bill because I have to. I don't pay my debts because I have to. But I do all of these things because the ambition I have drives me to desire the benefit that comes from doing all of these things. For instance, when I am hungry at my house, I like having food available to eat just as much as I like the convenience of tap water, gas to heat my house, and electricity to power my house. I pay my debts because my ambition has shown me one gets better interest rates when credit is needed by paying bills. If within us we have no ambition to be part of the kingdom of God, why should we first seek it? If within us we have no ambition to develop the righteousness of God and do what is righteous in the eyes of God, it would be like living with no human ambition and expecting to be wildly successful. With God, we have faith, knowing that as we seek, find, and knock, we know God will give us what is good for our life. But there is this element of ambition, a right kind of ambition that is fueled by faith, that is needed. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Jesus taught that not everyone that seeks to enter will be able to enter. If we want to enter in at the straight gate, if we hope to enter in at the straight gate, if we have faith we will enter in at the straight gate, we must strive to enter in at the straight gate. Without ambition, it's pretty hard to strive and be successful at anything, let alone to enter in at the straight gate. Without ambition that has fueled my faith, we could find ourselves on the outside of the gate looking in. If salvation is important to us because of our faith, we will be driven to do what is required of us and to be part of the kingdom of God to come. Luke 13, verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Jesus provided warnings to his disciples about the end time that we need to know about. He taught that we should not seek to save our human life as the return of Jesus nears, showing we cannot confuse human ambition that just about anyone has with the ambition we are to have that is fueled by faith. We cannot allow human ambition that drives what is done physically on earth to replace the ambition we are to have that is fueled by faith. Luke 17, verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom and rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. As evil proliferates, those of us of the faith will be hated throughout the world because we will be so far removed from what the people of this world believe. They will be driven by human ambition, and we need to be driven by ambition fueled by faith, because Jesus tells us if we want to be saved in light of all the hatred we will face, and in light of the cold society that will exist, we must endure to the end. It takes ambition to endure bad situations. And it will take ambition fueled by faith to endure to the end. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The ambition we have is fueled by faith, and is focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. It is never fueled because of a sign or through the wisdom of man. Paul taught the Corinthians that the Jews required a sign and the Greeks sought wisdom, which is a huge contrast to what we must have in our life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Jesus was directly asked for a sign by some of the scribes and Pharisees. And this came after Jesus explained that what we say and do reveals our heart. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It was then that Jesus was asked for a sign. And Jesus answered, saying, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. What we do and the ambition we have to be part of the kingdom of God is driven by faith. Paul taught the Corinthians, who sought proof, that what he said was not just his own words, but the words of Jesus Christ. Paul told them to examine themselves, whether they be of the faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Instead of seeking a sign or trying to prove if somebody else is of the faith, we need, through ambition fueled by faith, to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Paul explained to the people of Athens that God not only made all things on the earth, but that he also put it within people to seek him. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." We only seek those things when we have ambition to seek those things. When we go to the grocery store to buy milk and eggs, it is because we have ambition driven by want or need. When we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we have ambition fueled by faith. A person who denies the existence of God won't be seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. In seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, the ambition we have that is fueled by faith does not seek favor from people, because what we seek is far removed from what people understand. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith drives us to be justified by Jesus Christ, who died for us while we were yet sinners. The ambition that we have that is fueled by faith drives us not only to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, but to immediately change our life so that it is Jesus Christ who lives in us. What we do becomes more and more like Jesus Christ and less like the person we once were. Galatians 2, verse 15. We, who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith drives us to seek the things which are of Jesus Christ, including the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, including love for each other. Philippians 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith causes us to seek those things which are spiritual, which are of the kingdom to come. Because we seek those things which are spiritual, we also avoid those things which are sin. We change our lives so the life we live now reflects the righteousness of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith is not a selfish ambition. Through love, we live a life of righteousness as we remain focused, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness implies we will seek other things in life. But as we seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness and these other things in life, we will not seek these things with selfish ambition. We will consider our place with others, never selfishly taking from them to get what we want. Whatever we seek will be sought from a place of love and righteousness. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith affirms that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came in the flesh, was sacrificed, and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life. Luke 12, verse 8. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of what thing ye shall answer, for what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith drives us to be rich towards God. We will never be complacent with faith because of how good our life is. We will continue to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness throughout our life. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? Then he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith will never allow whatever may seem important in this world to overshadow our commitment to seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Verse 22. And he said unto his disciple, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of a little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus reminds us that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, and that we should not be so concerned with this life today, showing that God will provide for us. The ambition that we have that is fueled by faith causes us to value the kingdom of God and God's righteousness more than any physical possession we have on earth. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? The ambition we have that is fueled by faith causes us to do what is expected of us, never backing away from the faith, knowing that we have been given much through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and knowing that much is required of us. Verse 42. And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith recognizes we live in a world opposed to God. And that same ambition that is fueled by faith drives us to hate evil and do what is good. It causes us to pursue peace in this evil world as we do good. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The ambition that we have that is fueled by faith does not lead us to judge others, because our ambition is focused primarily on what we must do for our own salvation. As a result, we seek glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. And because we seek these things which are part of the kingdom of God, we also seek the righteousness of God. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and unpenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Jesus taught that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and the act of seeking anything implies the need for ambition. Without ambition to be part of the kingdom of God and to develop the righteousness of God, Satan will more easily pick us off. We need ambition that is fueled by faith to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, because our journey of faith has been and will continue to be a journey of determination and hard work, so that when Jesus Christ returns, we will have eternal life and spiritually be successful. The ambition we have that is fueled by faith will drive us today and each day to do what God expects of us, as more and more each day we are more unlike the person we were when we first started on our journey of faith, and more each day we reflect more of the righteousness of God during our journey of faith. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.